My name is Asia Corbett. I have been working for Johns Hopkins for 12 years. I was an executive specialist for the Vice President for Human Resources from 2016 until February of 2019. The dictionary definition of emotional intelligence is defined as the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. My definition of emotional intelligence is pretty aligned to the dictionary definition of it. The only thing I would add is having the capacity to process and resolve one's emotions in order to handle these interpersonal relationships in that judicious and empathetic way that was described from the dictionary definition. There is such a thing when we are looking at emotional intelligence and mental health as maladaptive emotional processing. And then there, on the contrary, is a such thing as adaptive emotional processing. And so in my mind, when I think about emotional intelligence, I believe that there's a danger in not processing your emotions appropriately that could have lasting impacts on an individual person. And as a result, that could ultimately show up at work. And it could also show up in our interpersonal relationships. And so I think that that is key in terms of understanding how to navigate one's emotions and how to process them. To cultivate this skill, I believe that individuals should really sit with their emotions. For example, if something comes up within your work that's frustrating, my opinion is that an individual should sit in the frustration and then be able to actually identify or give a name to the emotion that they're feeling. So at the time, if it's frustration, then call out frustration. I also believe that an individual should process the frustration, meaning they should understand what components of the situation led for them to be at that particular emotion in time. And once they're there, figure out the way to resolve the emotion. So if it's frustration or any other range of emotion, in my opinion, in order to cultivate this, that would mean that you have a decision to make. You can either wear the frustration and determine what consequences or actions will be a result of it, or you can take it off. And I think that that's something that we have to do from an intentional perspective, because our minds are automatically wired to go straight to the emotion and then go into a negative downward spiral around that emotion, which doesn't produce productivity or doesn't create, I should say, productivity for the individual that's feeling the emotion at that time. I believe that once you have resolved the frustration or the emotion in this case, you have a better chance of understanding the situation for what it is. And then you are in a better place to handle the situation so that if it happens again, you can determine what was your trigger, instead of that emotion going unresolved. And also, an individual that has this emotion that goes unresolved, they're going to struggle with the situation no matter what, until they get to the place where they've been able to identify it, name it, sit in it, resolve it, and process it. And I also think that it's not until there is resolution that it makes an individual better at mastering or cultivating the skill of emotional intelligence. I think oftentimes we will be frustrated and we're going so quickly that we don't have time to just pause and say, oh my goodness, this situation really frustrated me. Instead, we keep going. And before we know it, it's happened again and again and again, and we're bottled up. And I oftentimes think about how we are, our emotions are like in a soda bottle, right? If you don't release it and you continue to just shake that soda bottle up, at some point in some time, you're going to twist the cork of the bottle and you're going to explode. And so emotional intelligence is really about being in the moment, being intentional about how you're feeling, giving it a name, understanding it so that you can get to a resolution around it. And it's not to say that it'll be a one and done, but then when it arises again, you'll be able to quickly move through those first steps easily in order to continue to resolve it within yourself. Because it doesn't do anyone any good to have you continue to be bottled up around whatever that emotion is. So in terms of some actions that can be taken to practice this, some actions that I've taken are ones that I've previously described. Again, to reiterate, sitting in the emotion, identifying it, giving it a name, processing it, resolving the emotion, and then moving to self-awareness, which in this case would help you to understand what your triggers are. And so being okay with saying to yourself also, can I have some time to process my thoughts around this? And this can happen naturally, like when you're in a conversation, you may have in real time feelings about something. And so ultimately, I believe that you can make allowance for yourself by saying, can I have a moment just to process this and be able to get back to you and not feeling like you have to always have a answer in the moment. In addition, for me, some actions that I've taken to practice being emotionally intelligent is I like to write. I think that writing is very therapeutic for a number of reasons, and it does not have to be like an extensive journal entry. In that moment, it could literally be you writing on a sticky note, and it could be something that you write down like, I am frustrated. I am frustrated because I do not feel heard. And then what caused me not to be heard? So you're kind of going through these levels of questioning to yourself to kind of get to the root cause of why you feel the way that you do. And then from there, it's like, what decision am I going to make right now? Am I going to continue to be frustrated, or am I going to find a way to take off the frustration and position myself differently to be heard? And what does that look like? So a story of when I have applied emotional intelligence in my work was during a time when I was in the executive specialist role. There was a process, a super confidential process that I had to be a part of. And as a result of being a part of that, the information that came to me was related to someone that I knew very well. And as a result of that, I found myself being very emotional when I looked at that name on the piece of paper. And for me, I had to go through the steps that I just previously outlined around identifying the emotion. And at that moment, I was extremely sad because I knew the person on the paper, and as well as like sit in my emotion. And so I literally remember getting up from my desk and going to the bathroom and crying because I knew this person's story. I knew about their family. I knew all they had done or, you know, given up to be a part of Johns Hopkins. And once I was done crying, because that is very therapeutic in a way, I was able to then say to myself, okay, Asia, you have a job to do. You can process this, or you can be very emotional behind it. And so I think that's when the evolution in my mind of looking through the lens of, you know, something being objective versus subjective came to mind for me. And subjectively, our minds tell us stories about the emotions that we're feeling or the visual cues that we're picking up in an environment, but that might not always be factual. And then when we look at objective, we're talking about what are the facts. So for me in that story, subjectively, I knew everything about the person on the paper. I knew what this meant for the person on the paper. But objectively, what I had to realize is it's just a name on a paper. And that was really like a turning point in my administrative experience that helped me to navigate from an emotionally intelligent space. In my time being able to be objective, it helped me for other situations thereafter, like the ability to take something highly confidential, see a name, but then say to myself, it's just a name on a paper, and that I still had work to do and I still had a process that I needed to carry out. And so I would say that advice that I would give regarding the use of emotional intelligence in your work is really what I've just stated previously, but also trying very hard to understand the difference between being objective and being subjective. The closer you can get to being objective, the better off you'll be in terms of helping you to resolve your emotions. And that's not to say that as we navigate our work, we won't feel emotional behind certain things. Certain things will frustrate us. They'll make us sad. They might make us happy. They might make us feel irate. But it's very, very important that if we understand the facts, it can ultimately kind of dispel things that may not be true. And a lot of times our emotions are connected to the stories that we're telling ourselves. So the last thing that I would like to say about applying emotional intelligence that we haven't discussed is that we are all human. And I think that we have to allow ourselves some grace, and which is the reason why I suggest that we kind of sit in the emotion, because it doesn't discount the fact that we are human. And so being human means that we're going to feel, we're going to see, we're going to, like, our sensory system is there for that very reason. The positive in it is that there are tools, there are tips, there are tricks and ways for us to be intentional in terms of how we think about our emotions and how our emotions show up in the workplace that will really help us to cultivate the skill and really help us to be a more evolved self, especially in the context of being emotionally intelligent.